The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello. Hey, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric, and my guest is John Zmierich. John, you wrote two articles at stream.org. I want everybody to go to stream.org and check them out. White Fear 1 and White Fear Part 2. So get back to this idea. You said that the left is trying to goad white Americans into being the demonic version that they have in their minds. They're goading us into being white tribalists. And you and I, of course, would say, no, thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, the left is repeating the talking points of the Ku Klux Klan circa 1950. In 1950, the Ku Klux Klan said, this is a white man's country founded on white dominance and white civilization. If you take away segregation and you allow miscegenation between the races, you will see the destruction of America. They'll be pulling down its statues. They'll be burning down its cities. They'll be tearing up its founding documents. And we in the center, we civic nationalists who support the founding principles, are saying, no, America is accidentally a white man's country. It's more importantly an Englishman's country, an English political history and resistance to tyranny and a moderate form of the Reformation and a balance between the king and the parliament. All these English virtues are ones that made America what it is. That's why you can't have the same constitution in Bolivia and Colombia. They tried and they failed because they didn't come from an English political culture.
Okay, but wait. So that's the point. This is not a white skin idea. This is not you have to be an English person idea. This is an idea that happens to have come out of those cultures and out of those national traditions, but it has nothing to do with your ethnic identity. Anyone in the world can buy into this idea, and that is why America is a nation of nations. But something happened culturally where people who came to this country in more recent decades, they were not even invited to buy into these ideas. They were allowed to have their own crazy backward ideas from their own nations. They were not asked to be a part of America effectively.
Worse than that, they were encouraged to be Marxists. What this is not a weird cultural thing. This is Marxism.
Same difference.
Cultural Marxism trying to destroy America. So now the left, the woke activists, the Black Lives Matter, they're saying the Klan was right. America was a white man's country founded on white domination. And if you don't want white domination, then you have to cooperate with us in destroying America. So they're saying essentially the Klan was right. The Klan was right. The civil rights movement was just the thin end of a wedge to tear America apart. But that's a good thing, whereas the Klan thought it was a bad thing. And they're trying to attack white people, demonize us in our workplace, on the media. I was watching television last night. I did not see a white man in a TV commercial for an entire hour. Not one male white person was present.
All judges now are black women. All you have to do is turn on the TV. Every single one is a black woman. That's just the way it is on TV.
So what they want is they want to goad us into living up to the vicious stereotype they have in their minds of what white people are, or really what they were maybe in the 1840s. But nevertheless, they want us to pull back and create a defensive race-based movement. No, we have to unite with blacks and Hispanics and people, Asians, whoever supports the project of the American founding. Whoever supports the culture, the tolerant Anglo-Protestant culture that makes our country work, anybody like that is one of us. To help, we have us unite to fight against the communists the neo-Marxists, and the radical tribalists like the Islamists and genuine white nationalists, who are in fact very bad people, we have to resist and reject these vicious stereotypes. Books like Toxic Whiteness. We have to say no, hell no. You don't get to say that. I don't have to confess whiteness as a sin. Ethnic attitudes that exist in America are very similar to those exist in other countries. For instance, they say, well, why do whites have more power and money than non-whites in America? Okay, why do Han Chinese have more power and money in China than Tibetans do? Guess what? Majority groups have certain perks. If you have the majority in a country, there are certain perks that just naturally come with it. That's not systemic racism. That's human nature. We live in a fallen world where equality is not automatic. And in fact, the effort to achieve absolute equality generally results in things like the Cultural Revolution and the Khmer Rouge killing everyone with eyeglasses and mass starvation in the Ukraine. So we don't live in some college sophomore's fantasy utopia, but it's a heck of a lot better than burning cities, people like Kyle Rittenhouse going to prison for trying to defend themselves, business owners being looted and destroyed so that some race hustler can get elected to Congress.
Quick question. I don't know anything about Nick Fuentes, but you've cautioned against him, and I sometimes see people on the right praising him. Who is he?
He is a nasty little gutter snipe with an IQ of 105 who hates the Jews.
Who hates the Jews.
There you go.
Kind of like Hitler. Seriously, why do we have people on the right like Nick Fuentes being...
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't know anything about him.
I'll tell you why. Because Jews on the right do a better job of asserting their priorities than we Christians do. And that's not their fault. They're supposed to. So Jews on the right who care a lot about Israel do a good job of keeping Israel on the front burner of American policy. We Christians, we don't do such a good job of fighting against abortion or fighting for religious liberty or fighting for the integrity of marriage. So envy.
Okay, so so Nick Fuentes is you're saying he's anti-Semitic. Is there anything else we need to know? I just know that you've brought him up in the past, and I want my audience to be clear.
There is an unfortunate tendency on the nationalist America First right, of which I'm a part. I was a Pat Buchanan delegate to the 96th Republican Convention. There is a nasty element rising within the nationalist right, the America First right, that is resentful of Jewish Americans' success at asserting their particular priorities. What I say is, You don't like that they're better at it? Well, then get better at it. Do better. I care in the Middle East. I primarily care about the fate of Christian minorities in Muslim countries who are religiously oppressed. I think we Christians need to do a better job speaking up for that. If you think the Jews are really good at asserting Israel's interests, go be better at asserting the interests of Christians in the Middle East. Go compete with them. Don't hate the guy who's better at baseball.
I guess I'm asking, are you suggesting he's some kind of a white nationalist? Because, I genuinely know nothing about him, but I want to be clear because you've cautioned me in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's too complicated a principle for, I think, Nick Fuentes to understand. He's kind of reminds me of the character of the Joker on the TV series Gotham. He just goes on the internet and trolls people and provokes them and gets them revved up. He's a little demagogue who has, unfortunately, some good people have aligned with him because he says some of the right things.
Some good people have aligned with him. Who has aligned with him? I guess you're telling them they shouldn't do that?
Yeah. I mean, Michelle Malkin, who I love, has appeared at events with him. I wouldn't do that. I'm not here to bash her, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't appear with people who single anyone out because of their ethnicity. Again, if you think Jews are better at asserting their particular priorities than Christians are, then get better at it. Don't be Tanya Harding and go try to smash Nancy Kerrigan's knees. Just be a better skater, okay?
The fact that you managed to bring Tanya Harding into this, John. This is why we love you, my friend. Folks, please check out John's writing at stream.org. And John, you've written many wonderful books, but you still haven't written the story of your life. I'm going to bug you about that till you write it, because it's going to be an amazing story. Folks, don't go away. John, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey, folks, I'm at the NRB. You don't know who's going to stagger by, sober, drunk. You don't know, because anything can happen at the NRB. We're in Dallas at the glorified terrarium called the Gaylord Texan, or whatever they call it. In case anybody wants to know whether I like the Gaylord, I can answer that question now. My lawyer says don't answer it. I'm sitting here with John Cox. Now, John Cox is somebody I've heard about. He ran for governor of California in 2016, did not win. Who won that?
Gavin Newsom.
Oh, Governor Pretty Boy. That's
Governor
right.
Pretty
I
Boy.
Forgot.
Yes.
Governor Pretty
yes.
Boy won, and you lost, but you are running again. When is the next election?
Well, we don't know the next election date yet. The recall is qualified. They collected more than enough signatures, well over 2 million. They needed only 1.5 million to qualify it. But the legislature and the lieutenant governor, believe it or not, are the ones that call the date of the election. They're looking now at maybe around September 14th. They're going to let us know in about 10 days.
Of this year?
Oh, yeah.
How can somebody run for governor just like a couple of months run up? That's amazing.
Well, that's what's going to happen. Oh, well, listen, I've been out there. We've known about the recall, obviously. I was one of the first early funders.
You know something? I literally forgot about the recall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start from the beginning. Other than the fact that you're not Gavin Newsom,
right,
what qualifies you to be the governor of the state of California?
And let's get the record straight. I didn't just stagger by.
You didn't stagger by? No, he was carried in by his handlers. He doesn't know his name. Seriously,
no.
though,
yes.
you're somebody I've heard about you, and I'm really excited to have you here, because we all know that California is in free fall. The madness of the left has completely taken over that state. Lives are being destroyed. Jobs are being destroyed. It's a horror. And we need anybody with common sense would do an infinitely better job than the monstrosity known as Gavin Newsom. But you have a particular story. What is your background, John Cox?
Well, listen, I was the son of a single mom because my real father forced himself on her. My mom said he raped her, and she had me, and she had to have me because I was protected by the law.
Your mother was date raped.
Date raped, basically. Yep.
And she didn't have an abortion.
Nope. She had me.
And here you are.
Here I am, 65 years later.
But you're just a clump of cells, aren't you?
No, I'm a real human being.
You're a real person.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And I've contributed to the world, I hope. I hope I've.
Well, just by being a human being, you're already sacred and infinitely worthy.
Absolutely.
But it's just fascinating, because in this day and age, if somebody goes through a rape or a date rape, abortion seems like the easy answer. But your mother couldn't make that decision.
And she took responsibility for me. And my real father didn't. I never saw him again, by the way. He wasn't a factor in my life one iota. Frankly, I didn't even know his name until I was 18 years old.
Where'd you grow up, John?
Chicago, south side of Chicago.
In Chicago. And yep. And what was your career up until this point? What have you been
doing? Well, I worked my way through school. I became a CPA by the time I was 20 years old. I always tell people I finished college in 2.5 years because I was paying for it.
Ah, that's very interesting.
I had a daughter who took 5 years because I was paying for it.
Interesting. I would only pay for 4 years.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, no, but I worked my way through, and I studied hard. I started my own business when I was 25 years old, and I've been very fortunate. I've delivered results. I had an accounting practice, a law practice. I went to law school at night while I worked as a CPA during the day. And I started a real estate business.
Basically, to sum up, you're a lazy bum. You've done nothing with yourself. So where do we – I mean, this is amazing, and it's a true American story. You saw these opportunities. Nobody pushed you. You just did it, and it's beautiful. When did you where did you go from there to even considering politics?
Ronald Reagan brought me to the Republican Party. I grew up a Democrat. My mom was a Democrat. I even ran for delegate to the Democratic Convention in 1976, believe it or not. But I got to be a CPA. I got started seeing what accountants did. I mean, in terms of tax shelters and a 70% tax rate and government control of everything. And Ronald Reagan came along and said the government is the problem, not the solution. And I started learning more about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan had a lifelong opposition to communism and socialism. And that's the essence. I'm going to speak about that tonight at the convention here because, Ronald Reagan's view was that communism and socialism were such evils because they try to replace God. And our faith is so important. It's my faith is so important to me. And communism and socialism don't want God to compete. They want the hearts and minds of the people in order to control them. And Ronald Reagan spoke to that. And let me tell you, Ronald Reagan changed the world. And let me, I will say that that's the same battle that we're undergoing today, Eric. I mean, we're seeing played out not only in Washington, but in my home state now of California. Socialism is running amok. They don't call it that. They don't want to call it that because that has a bad taste to it, a bad name to it. But really and truly, it's all government control and government mismanagement. And you mentioned that California is a basket case, but that's the reason, because of such overweening government control, and it's failing at it. Freedom is what flourishes.
Well, it's funny because my father, when I was a teenager, always held up Reagan, this is before, while he was thinking of running for president in 76 mm-hmm. and 80, mm-hmm. always held him up as the gold standard because he's strong against communism. My father saw communism close up in Greece after World War II. My mother saw mm-hmm. it in Germany, in East Germany, where she grew up. So my parents raised me to know that communism is evil. And Reagan was a real champion when there were many people, the rhinos of that day, whether it's Jerry Ford or whoever it was, they were like a lot of the – today I guess you'd call them cowards. They just don't – they're not willing to pay the price to name this evil and to stand against it. They just sort of want to play patty cake with it. And lives and careers and families have been ruined by these policies that have been brought in. So you saw this already in the 70s.
I did. And I saw it played out in the 80s when Reagan fought it. And his standing up to Gorbachev in Reykjavik was tremendous, an act of courage. He knew that he was not going to give up Star Wars. He was not going to, placate the Soviet Union just to get a deal done. And, he saw after he left office that the Berlin Wall fell. Millions and millions of people were freed from bondage. And, that's what has to happen in California today. I mean, we've got so many people in California who can't afford life. They have to pay 30, 40, 50% of their income for housing costs. They don't have water, electricity. They're unbelievably expensive. It bleeds into every other aspect of life, too. Healthcare, food, clothing is all unbelievably expensive in California because it's driven up by housing costs, which is also driven up by government. So I look at this as part of the battle between people who want freedom and want opportunity and want a chance to an affordable life and the forces of big government like Gavin Newsom that are going to try to hold people in control.
Well, let me ask you, because, you know, you lost pretty badly in 2016, because we all know California has been a
2018
has been a dramatically blue state. But what do we think going forward? In other words, why do you think that you have a better chance this time?
Well, I came out of nowhere in 2018. I mean, I ran because I knew that there was no Republican standard bearer. They were talking about it being two Democrats in the final two, and I wanted to make sure that we had a representative in that top two. So I was relatively unknown. Now I've got a base. All the warnings I gave about Gavin Newsom have come true, unfortunately. I didn't anticipate a pandemic, obviously, but I saw that he was not going to do a thing about homelessness. He was not going to fix housing. He was not going to fix energy and water and the schools. And that's actually what's played out. And now there's a recall. Now there's an attempt to really get out of this hole that we're in California, stop digging it deeper, get new leadership, and turn the state around.
Now,
and I think it's a great opportunity.
What was your background more recently before you got involved politically? What were you been doing the last 20 years?
Been running my businesses, basically. I've been very successful. I build apartments and manage them for a living, providing affordable, wonderful housing for people. And frankly, that is probably the number one issue in California today, Eric. It really is, because housing is the number one cost in any household budget. And we have to lower that cost of living because salaries get pushed up. Businesses can't operate. The cost of government is so much higher because of that housing cost. So if I can address that right away, and the stain and the horror of homelessness is also another part of that issue as well.
It's hard to believe. I mean, anybody who lives outside California, when you see the images, the squalor.
Yes.
It is truly staggering when you think of Newsom and Pelosi and how they live and where they live, and contrast that with the just almost incomprehensible squalor. It looks like the worst of, the outskirts of Mexico City. And you think, this is America, this is California. We're going to be back in another segment. We're talking to, with the man I hope will be the next governor of the state of California, John Cox. Folks, I'm talking to John Cox, the man that I hope will be the next governor of the state of California. Wouldn't that be amazing? John, you said my faith. I assume you're a Christian.
Yes.
And when did that become important in your life?
Well, I actually adopted my faith as an adult. I didn't have a religion growing up. My mom was not religious one iota. And I always questioned where I was from and where I was going, frankly. And I met my first wife, she happened to be Catholic, and I adopted the Catholic religion. I did it without telling her, and sought instruction, and was baptized when I was 19 years old. And now I've been a lector at my church for 20 years. I taught Sunday school.
Don't brag. So did Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
All right. That's nothing you want to brag about.
Well, not
I'm
bragging.
Kidding.
I'm just
kidding.
Saying that
Let me kid.
My background is, I got involved very much in my church, and, I felt it was very, very important. I believe in, my faith and God's plan for us. I believe in God's love was shown through giving us all free will. And, freedom and free will is God's gift to us. And It's in the Constitution as the first freedom. The First Amendment to the Bill of Rights is freedom of religion. And that's because people came to this country seeking religious liberty. And God gave us that free will because he wanted us to love him because of our own choice. I want my children to love me for their own choice, not to be forced. But see, communism and socialism and big government doesn't want that. They want to force you to do things. And I think the essence of God's love is free will, and that personifies itself in freedom. And frankly, the U.S. is the greatest country in the history of the world because we celebrate freedom and because we have that firmly
solidified in the Bill of Rights.
When did you decide that politics might be the thing for you? In other words, you've not held office till now, which I see as a badge of honor and a credential to run for office. But when did you think that maybe this would be the thing for you to do?
Well, listen, I've always been involved in some respects. My mom was very political. She loved John F. Kennedy. And when I was a little six-year-old, I would go around the house imitating JFK, you know, ask not what your country can do for you.
Yeah.
I think JFK, by the way, wouldn't be welcome in today's Democratic Party.
You kidding? No.
No.
No, he would not.
No, no, no.
But he probably would have drifted into the sloppy pro-abortion world of his brother Ted. I mean, it's kind of strange how the Kennedys once were,
agreed,
at least ostensibly faith-filled, certainly not in practice. But it is an amazing thing to think how far the left has drifted. It was one thing to be a Democrat then. To be a Democrat now is effectively to be a socialist and a Marxist and an anti-American-ist.
Right.
That's not a word. But you know, when we talk about the political landscape in California, what do you think the months ahead would hold? In other words, if you were able to run, who would be against you? Would Gavin Newsom be your toughest competitor? Would he run again if he's recalled? I don't know the details. I'm not a Californian.
Well, the ballot is just one ballot. It's two questions. Do you want to recall him, yes or no? And if we get 50% plus one to say yes, he's out in 10 days.
Okay.
Then the second question is, who on this list do you want to replace him? I'm the top candidate right now. I have 25%. And then I can potentially win the race.
You're the top candidate.
I'm the top candidate
so
in that field. There's no major Democrat that's going to run. Newsom and his aunt, Nancy Pelosi, are making sure that there's no other Democrat that that has any kind of name recognition or any kind of position of power.
So you think Auntie Pelosi has her thumb on the scales? Is it like a corrupt kind of family business?
Pretty much.
I mean, no kidding.
Pretty much.
It is.
Oh, it really is.
Well,
and the Browns, too.
And the Browns. Who can forget Linda Ronstadt and her boyfriend? What's his name?
Jerry.
Jerry Brown.
Yeah.
Who can forget?
Yes.
Let me ask you, so if this were to happen, when would the recall be? What is the timing? Because right now we're still in June. What does it look like?
It looks like it's going to be September 14th. They haven't selected a date yet. They don't really have to yet.
Right.
The signatures are all been counted on the recall petitions. It's all been validated, but they got to wait for the lieutenant governor, believe it or not, is the one who calls the election. And she's going to do it 60 to 80 days after all the steps have been taken. Those are pretty much all done now. So she's probably going to call it probably around September 14th.
Well, so the election would be immediately after?
No,
how does that,
on September 14th.
It's the recall vote and the election.
It's all on one day. It's all one ballot.
So you would find out, what does it take to count ballots, like 6 or 8 months?
No.
How long would it take to find out?
They're going to know within a few days, I would expect. It's going to be a mail ballot election, but they should know it that night. Just remember, Florida tabulated all its votes on election night. You know, there are a lot of states that did
so
that.
Then theoretically it can be done.
Yeah, Newsom is out in 10 days, by the way.
Wow.
If he loses, if the vote for yes.
Doesn't that guy look just like Hercules? You never know who you're going to see. You're at the NRB, you look up. It could be Boris Karloff. It could be Kevin Sorbo. It could be anybody
but
walking
by. But
he's
not by. Staggering.
It's unbelievable. Look at that.
That's the good news.
Well, let me just say that it's exciting to think about the possibility of you as governor. That would be an extraordinary thing. I'm glad to
a political
to meet
earthquake.
You. Well, it would be a political earthquake.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though. I'm not a Californian, but if you get in and you don't deliver, I'm coming for you.
Okay.
I'm going to get on a bike and I'm going to ride across the country because boy, oh boy, oh boy, do we need action. We need revolution. It's so horrifying to think what career politicians have done. So electing folks like you really would just absolutely extraordinary. Privileged to talk to you, John Cox. God bless you.
Same here. God bless you. Thanks, Eric.
Folks, things are getting insane. Insane. Do you hear me? Insane in the United States of America. Now, before I get into how insane things are, let me just tell you something normal and good. Nutramedics.com. Don't forget, anything you need, folks, whether it's vitamin C or vitamin D or like whatever you do, melatonin, please go to Nutramedics.com. Please use the code Eric. Also, any of my books can be ordered, many of my books can be ordered at mystore.com. Again, use the code Eric. If you don't want to buy them from one of those big named outlets or whatever out there on the web, you can go to mystore.com, use the code Eric, and of course, for all your pillow needs, please go to mypillow.com and use the code Eric. And before, Alvin, I'm a little confused.
What?
I was just saying things are going crazy, and I meant like out there, and I'm sitting here in the studio, and you're wearing literally what looks like a tinfoil hat. You look like a Keebler elf, or you look like a Hershey's Kiss. But I don't think that's your intention, Alvin.
No, what is happening? Wait, you see the D on here. This is an official...
No, I don't see the D. Hold on. This is a radio program. I've got to describe this for people who are not watching this on video. Ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting in the studio. Everything seemed sort of normal. And you're wearing a tinfoil hat with a big blue D circled. You've got like a badge, a D badge on the tinfoil hat. Alvin, can you explain... Yeah. To the audience and to the host of the show, Eric Metaxas, what is going on?
Well, this is the official DNC-issued conservative misinformation blocker. So just now, here's an example. Just now, I saw your lips moving, but I couldn't hear everything you were saying because it was working, because it blocks any misinformation from any conservative.
Oh, wait. So yeah. Biden and the DNC are issuing.
Yes.
Are they going door to door?
Yeah. At the same time, they're finding out if you were vaccinated, they're giving you one of these tinfoil hat so you can make sure that you don't get any dis or misinformation.
Okay, so this hat was given to you, it was paid for by tax dollars, and the DNC is handing these out to keep you from hearing what I like to call the truth and what they like to call misinformation.
Okay, I'm getting half of what you're saying because it's working.
Maybe you should take the hat off so we can understand each other. Can you hear me now? Okay, 2 + 2 = 4. Did you hear that?
Yes.
2 + 2 = 4.
Well, not, no,
there
I
are
didn't.
Only okay. two sexes and only two genders. Did
okay,
you hear that?
I heard that, but I better put this hat back on because I don't know what you're spewing
over there,
buddy.
You don't want to hear that stuff.
Yeah, listen, America has been fundamentally transformed, and they want to be careful and be sure that it doesn't get transformed back. So when Obama had his prediction in 2008, he said it was going to be fundamentally transformed.
Yeah.
We're living in it right now. But if you wear this hat, you're going to be happy with it. Okay, folks?
So it's kind of like the opiate of the asses.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah.
I got to say, that's, obviously it's a biblical reference to Balaam's ass. So
the opiate of the asses,
that's beautiful that you can put that hat on and everybody's happy.
Yeah. Now, and the air quote president, Joe Biden, he won't sniff your hair if you're wearing this as well for you young ladies out there.
Yeah. If you want to protect yourself from those presidential sniffs. But actually, the good news is he's not actually president. He's just playing that role. So, Alvin, I'm trying to understand. You mean that the government is going door to door and they're not just asking if you've been vaccinated? By the way, I should say to my audience, if somebody comes to your door and asks you a question like that, I hope you have a big dog and you let it out at that moment. Or if you have a gun, you might want to let that person know that they're not welcome on your property. Because that kind of intrusion in America, it's pretty sick. Hey, Alvin, I just noticed you're wearing a mask with the hat now.
I'm getting more properly attired here for the DNC. This is great, isn't it? Now I'm ready. I'm ready for the new world government, and it's wonderful. I am enjoying it immensely. I'm protecting you and me at the same time. Okay.
I just love the fact that because you're such a patriot, you're wearing the mask, even though it's completely unnecessary and foolish, you don't care. You're doing it pure love of country. And now you're putting on the eye patch for the pirate pandemic.
That's right.
Did people know that there's a new that there's a new pandemic, the pirate pandemic, and that it enters through the right eye?
That's correct.
People didn't know about that.
I know.
The government is asking us to wear eye patches. And, of course, mine is at the cleaners, but it'll be out soon. And it's so important that we show our patriotism covering up every conceivable orifice. Our ears are next. But I guess if you wear the hat, you can't hear bad stuff, so that even works for that.
Whatever you said, I'm sure it's delightful, Eric. But the only thing is, I'm just hoping they can come up with something to help protect me from your white privilege. That's the next thing that has to happen.
Nothing can protect you from my white privilege. Even I'm a victim of it. Don't you understand, folks? Alvin, this is really, this is so important that my audience understand that the government wants to take care of us. They want to block every bad thing, every meteor that might hit you or your family, every disease, every bad thing. They're here to make us feel comfortable.
And
isn't
can
it
I
a
say
beautiful thing?
Thank you, government. Thank you very much.
Thank you, government. I love Big Brother. I love Big Brother. I feel like this is something that John Smirak made up. It's amazing that this is really happening, that you're wearing a tinfoil hat and an eye patch. And your twin brother also wearing these things?
I know that he is. I know that he is. And by the way, you talk about Smirak. I know he was on earlier. I didn't hear a word he was saying because I was wearing my official DNC tinfoil hat.
That's the whole thing, is if you don't want to hear Smirak, grab one of these hats. Mm-hmm. Alvin, I'm just so glad that you're finally going along with the program.
Yes.
Our government is trying to help. Is trying to help us.
We're on the
edge. They don't want us to be harmed by the truth and stuff like that. Do you have anything more basic to share with our audience, or is this it? Can they hear about Nutramedics?
They can hear about Nutramedics one more time, because that is the truth. 20% off with Eric.
20% off, unless you're wearing one of these hats, and then you don't get anything off. If you use the code Eric, Nutramedics.com and mystore.com, it's hard for me to talk to you when you dress like that, Alvin, but I'm going to try. People keep saying to me they want to get my books. I've even noticed that if you go to places like Amazon, they don't even advertise the books anymore. They now have only the Kindle and the audio, and you have to kind of look hard to find the hardcover or the paperback, because I think they make more money because there's no paper and there's no ink. They just press a button and boom, they get $15 for sending some electrons in your direction.
Okay, so your lips were
you
moving,
go?
I have no idea what you're saying.
This is really tough. Folks, it's getting crazy out there, and you can join the craziness by continuing to listen to this program. We'll be right back with something very substantive. Holy cow, Alvin, thank you for taking that hat off. You were really scaring me there.
I know.
You were scaring me because I thought it was real for a minute. I thought it was real. Hey, I want to tell people.
It's real tinfoil.
Everywhere I go, I was just, as I said, in Birmingham, Alabama. And everywhere I go, and this is bizarre, people want to talk to me about the Bonhoeffer book. And I think I've written 13 books. And the Bonhoeffer book came out in 2010. That's 11 years ago. So a year ago, I put out a 10th anniversary edition. But no matter where I go, people want to talk to me about the Bonhoeffer book because they keep saying, this is what is happening today. This book is creepy to read because it's happening today. And I thought at some point I should mention that on this program, because when I was writing the book, so I was writing it in 2008, no kidding, I thought there are curious things about what happened in Germany in the 20s and then ultimately in the 30s that they struck me as oddly, familiar. But I thought, well, not there yet. But sure enough, as the decade has passed, many things that you see happening in the story of Bonhoeffer, obviously it's just history, it's just my book version of what happened back then, but What I say, and this is kind of my point, is that I believe God called me to write that book, to tell that story for us today.
Yeah.
In other words, at the time, I didn't realize this. I was just writing a book to show this was a heroic Christian, living in a time when it became increasingly difficult to speak freely, increasingly difficult to be any kind of a Christian, to speak the truth. And I know that the people back then did not listen to the warnings of Bonhoeffer. So he's like an Old Testament prophet.
Yeah.
And people, they weren't ready for it. They kept saying, nah, nah, you're too much of a hothead. No, we need to listen to the government. We need to trust the government. And the liberals and the conservatives both did the same thing. They did it for different reasons, but they refused, the church I'm talking about, refused to stand up to the government. They basically had different reasons why. Some people said, oh, we want to preach the gospel. We don't want to get political.
Hmm.
Well, you know what? When people are going to their deaths in boxcars, it might be time to speak out against that. Now, if that seems political, who cares? You're speaking up for what is right. So the parallels that I see today, we're not there yet, but I honestly believe that if we don't heed the warning of what happened in Bonhoeffer's time, so if you have a copy of the book, now might be a good time to reread it. If you don't understand that what happened then is happening now, and it will go in the same direction. I mean, it won't be the same thing. We might not have, you know, death camps. But the point is, who cares how it goes? We just know that when freedom gets canceled, it's only because people who have freedom didn't fight while they had the freedom. And so I've wanted to say this for weeks now, because everywhere I go, and I've been traveling a lot, people keep asking me to talk about this. I just spoke about it in Birmingham, Alabama. And I thought, let me say it on this program, that the Bonhoeffer story, I think, is a warning to us that if we do not do something different from what they did in Germany, in other words, if we do not stand up, if we do not heed the warning of Bonhoeffer, we will go in that direction. We're going in that direction. And it is only if we wake up, and I mean wake up now, because what happened in Germany, and this is kind of the key, there was a window when Bonhoeffer was trying to wake them up. And then at some point, it was like, boop, game over, too late, it's over. And so people like Martin Niemöller, he woke up, and it was too late.
Yeah.
And he gave his famous poem where he talks about, you know, they came for this one, I didn't speak up. They came for that one, I didn't speak up. So, folks, when they come against anybody, when they come to cancel somebody, to shut somebody up, if you don't speak up, you've become part of the problem. They try to cancel somebody, whether it's me or all the people that have been canceled. Stand up for them. Try to help them. If we don't stand together now, doesn't matter if you agree with everything I say, but this is fundamentally un-American. Anyway, just wanted to say that. Thanks for listening.